Committee, good afternoon. It is Monday, April 21st, and the order that will go is first Senate Bill 819, second would be Senate Bill 747, which would go to Ways and Means Committee, third would be Senate Bill 362. We've received the two letters that the Vice Chair requested, and then we will do House Bill 2650. Open a work session on Senate Bill 819. Steve, we have four amendments before us, and the dash ones are already in the bill, so we need to take them out, committee, to include either the dash twos, the threes, or the fours. Steve.
Okay, just Mr. Chair, members, to remind you, Senate Bill 819, what the original bill does is to adjust the amount that of local option taxes that can be excluded from local revenue in the school equalization formula. It increases the limits from the lesser of 10% of the formula revenue or $500 per weighted student. It changes those to 10 to 15% of the formula revenue and the $500 to $750 per student, so that more local option dollars can be excluded from local revenue. The dash one amendment was dealing with the merger of small high schools, so that after a merger, the student weights associated with small high schools could be the sum of the two small high schools before the merger, so that there wouldn't be any loss in student weights in that process. The dash ones are currently in the bill. You brought the bill back under reconsideration, but did not take out the dash ones yet. Upon further reflection, it was decided that that should probably be redrafted, and so you had a dash two amendment that more clearly dealt with whether the two small high schools were in separate districts or in the same district. It deals with both situations much better than the dash one. So that's the dash two. The dash three that you had presented, or brought to the committee at least, dealt with continuing the current program of setting $4.5 million of state school fund dollars aside and making payments of $200 per student to small high schools. And then if there was other money left over, there was a special needs grant that could be a part of that. So that would be the dash threes. And then the dash four, brought in by Representative Crummell, said that for high growth districts should get $2 million if they had at least a 4% increase in ABM in the prior 5 years, in each of the prior 5 years.
So we have, committee, we have the dash ones adopted. Senator Corcoran.
Mr. Chair, I move we reconsider the vote by which the dash one amendments were adopted to Senate Bill 819.
Senator Corcoran has moved that we reconsider the vote by which the dash ones were adopted to Senate Bill 819. Discussion.
Basically, for the purposes just described, it's a cleaner rendering of the same idea that put the dash twos in and replace the dash ones.
Thank you. Any further? Those opinion that we should reconsider the vote by which Senate Bill 819-1 amendments were adopted will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Chair, please call the roll.
Senator Corcoran?
Aye.
Daniel?
Aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Corcoran.
I move the dash twos to Senate Bill 819.
Senator Corcoran has moved the dash two amendments to Senate Bill 819. Discussion. Objections? So ordered.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Corcoran.
Moved Senate Bill 819 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Corcoran has moved Senate Bill 819 as amended to the floor with a due pass. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Farrelly.
Mr. Chairman, in some people's mind, there's a connection between the passage of Senate Bill 819 and the movement of Senate Bill 747, which also has to do with school funding issues. I note that Senate Bill 819's plan to go to the floor with a due pass recommendation, while Senate Bill 747 goes to Ways and Means. I just want folks to understand that, for the record, In my mind, at least, the passage of these two bills represents some progress in trying to move toward mediation and solving some school funding issues. The fact that one bill is going to the floor and the other is going to Ways and Means raises a little concern in my mind. But I'm certainly not interested in preventing communities from taking up the issue of increasing their own support for schools. I just want to clearly recognize that that is the issue that was before us in 2000 when Public Law 106-393 was passed. And I'd like to distribute to the members a memorandum signed by all of the congressional delegations relative to those dollars that they were appropriated to make clear that the intention of Congress was to be sure that these dollars were sent directly to the timber communities for which they were intended, not to supplant or supplement existing expenditures and appropriations from our general fund, but in lieu of. So, Mr. Chairman, I'm content to vote this bill out and support this bill because it represents a local option and a local initiative that people are pursuing to support their schools, identically to the dollars that were appropriated in Public Law 106-393. So, you know, other people may think there's no connection or that these bills are going different directions so that one of them will pass and one of them will just disappear. And I hope very clearly to convey to people that by moving this bill forward, I'm doing my part to help in representing rural communities, doing our part to help other communities find resources to support their schools. And I would expect the same consideration from others as Senate Bill 747 moves to the Full Ways and Means Committee. I want to make that clear, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Senator Corker.
I want to support Senator Farioli and basically say that when we came into the building this time, one of the things we were told by most of the certified SMART people in the school funding project was to leave the funding formula alone. And if leaving the funding formula alone means putting that federal money that Senator Farioli is talking about back in the same proportion that we did before, I would support that.
Thank you. Senator Ringo.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess just as long as we're chiming in, I really reject the notion that this is a local initiative in the same way that 747 is, and that taking money from the federal government is far different than allowing a local community to tax itself more. And in many parts of Washington County, a local levy faces a very uphill chore in terms of getting it passed. And so I just would not equate taking federal money with allowing a local community to tax itself more. That's pretty cold comfort. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Ringo. Senator Starr.
I'll take my turn at this, too. Just for the record, I don't see an equation whereby Senate Bill 747 and Senate Bill 819 are any way, shape, or form similar. One provides a local community option, perhaps, to have a discussion in the community about raising taxes to fund local schools. Another one, as it relates to the districts that I represent, if it were passed in its current form, would basically take dollars out of their local schools directly, just take it out of their budgets. And in this tight fiscal time, that's a difficult pill for some of those districts that I represent to take. And the trade-off is that, you know, maybe they can go out to their local district and maybe have their voters vote yes on more taxes for themselves. I don't see that the two are necessarily synonymous, or they're equal in their ability to help fund education.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I could respond.
Senator Farioli.
I agree with those that say there's no direct connection, and that's why I'm willing to see that Senate Bill 819 moves forward today. But I hope we have had enough discussion and enough learning from each other in this committee that just as those communities in the urban areas face an uncertain future with Senate Bill 819's authority to pass their own local levies, that is doubly true of communities that have had double-digit unemployment for the last 10 years. and that the Community Self-Determination Act of 2000 was in fact a local initiative organized by rural communities, and instead of coming to the legislature for authority, they went to Washington, D.C. Each of those approaches is equally valid. Each of them deserves support. Each of them, I think, shows that people in their rural communities and their urban communities care, and they have varying capacities. And they care about their schools, and they're willing to do whatever it takes to adequately fund their schools. In those cases, in those comparables, there really is no difference between the impulse to do something more for schools under Senate Bill 819 and the fact that something more was done for schools under Public Law 103-393. Or 106-393. So I guess what I'm suggesting is philosophically, I don't see any difference in the impulse that gets people excited about schools and willing to go the extra distance to fund them. In terms of whether these things are legislatively connected, clearly they are not. But I just want to acknowledge and support local efforts, local options, and local initiatives. And I want it clearly on the record that I think the dollars in Public Law 106-393 were derived from just that kind of team spirit, community spirit, and initiative. So to that extent, I think they're very much alike.
Thank you. Senator Hannon, do you want to chime in?
Well, yeah, my dog's not in that fight. I think what we got here is... the same people that brought us Measure 5 now want local option, which is fine. I wish they were talking about repealing Measure 5 as aggressively as they were talking about local option. Because the people that brought us Measure 5, my constituents voted against Measure 5. And we didn't ask for that, but it was forced on us by those do-gooders that didn't want to pay their property taxes. And now all of a sudden they want to do good again. They want to raise their property taxes again so they can come back to the legislature and say, well, damn it, I didn't mean to really vote all those taxes on myself. Can you pay for it? So I sat here with somewhat mixed emotions with 819 as long as you're talking about 819 and 747. The rural districts were given money by the federal government because they lost their economic base. And I was trying to work out a compromise of 747 and 819 both. And somehow it's got up into a situation in this committee. It's us versus you. And I think this is the committee is losing sight of what the issue is. On Monday, it's one Oregon. On Tuesday, it's us versus you. And on Wednesday, it's me versus them. And I think it's about time we start recognizing that it is one Oregon. And rural Oregon, especially timber-dependent communities in this state, those school districts have suffered tremendously. And no equalization has bothered to help them out. And they were given money by the federal government in 2001 only to have it taken by the state of Oregon in the legislative process in 2001 and redistributed through other communities. And so it's unfortunate that the discussion on both of these bills has turned to us versus them. I think it should be all of us together working for solutions. I'm going to support 819. I'm going to support 747. But I think this attitude and this direction of turning one area of the state against another area of the state is certainly not lending itself to good political decisions in this process. And I only say this statement that I hope that my colleagues on the left are as willing to argue aggressively about repealing Measure 5 as we are sitting here today, aggressively arguing the passage of 819.
Thank you. Just one comment, Senator Hannon. As we get into the school funding formula, and this committee certainly entertained this for a couple months, I feel strongly that ultimately my hope is that we get to a grand solution. And I think today might actually play a part in that grand solution, but it would be one that would be statewide in nature and one that is comprehensive in nature, so that it's not an us versus them. Tara, please call the roll.
Aye.
Even
for
some.
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. The motion carries. Senator Devlin, I don't see him. Oh, just here, we'll carry the bill. Open a work session on Senate Bill 747. Mr. Meyer.
747 deals with federal force revenue and whether it's inside as local revenue in the school equalization formula or outside. Currently, it's included in local revenue. 747 would take the increase that has occurred since 2000-2001, that portion of it, and put it outside the formula so that those dollars, as they go to the school districts, would not be counted as local revenue from those school districts in the school equalization formula. It sunsets on July 1st, 2007. And you had earlier a run that showed where the money would flow, simulation 4, and it would move about 6.5 million outside the formula, 16.5 per year.
Thank you. Senator Farrelly, do you want to speak to 740?
Simply, Mr. Chairman, the issues for me on this bill are really not much different than the City of Portland with a proposal for a tax increase on income to be distributed to urban area schools through Multnomah County. It seems to me the same sort of a mechanism. The difference is that the federal appropriation was the source of the funds, whereas a tax would be the source of the dollars in Portland and the Multnomah County area. What seems clear to me is that people are looking very, very hard for all kinds of different mechanisms to try to ease the burden of their school district finances. And we should, as Senator Hannon says, facilitate, assist, help, get out of the way, in any of those efforts, and this seems to me to be a mechanism that will, in fact, allow the discussion to continue. I am very sensitive to your discussion about putting this issue against a broader solution. So I'm hoping that our colleagues here on the committee will allow this bill to move forward to full ways and means for discussion in that broader context that you mentioned earlier.
Thank you, Senator Starr.
I'm not here to pick a fight, but just one clarification or my own clarification on what Senator Farrelly just said. He compared this bill to this, you know, Multnomah County and the City of Portland going out and asking its citizens to tax themselves to fund schools. The difference is in this bill and what they're doing, they're not, in the event that they're successful, they don't come into other districts and I guess take money out of the overall pot. That, you know, if we can argue whether it was right that this money got put in the pot last time, but now that's in the pot, it basically takes the money from other districts, and you know, and distributes it in a fashion that's different. Whereas the voters in Multnomah County may tax themselves additional dollars, but they're not taking monies from other districts necessarily. That's the only difference. And I recognize that, you know, all things being equal, if there was new pots of money originally, and it begs the question about whether or not dollars that are raised outside of the formula ought to be raised outside of the formula. They'll all get put in the formula. If we're going to have a child in Burns and a child in Beaverton, you know, deserve the same kind of education, it begs the question whether or not all this money that's kind of getting raised, found, arm-twisted out of the federal government or arm-twisted out of citizen taxpayers, you know, begs the question whether or not that all should go in the formula, because children across the state deserve to have their education be equal, regardless of the source of funds. I think that's maybe the bigger discussion that this legislature ought to someday tackle.
Thank you.
No, Mr. Chairman, I think nobody can listen to these discussions without at least some sense of irony. The Measure 5 issue, which was essentially defeated in every rural community, is an issue that the good Senator from Ashland brings up. Measure 28 discussions get tangled up in this thing. Who took the money from who, when, or who might take the money from who, when, it's kind of ironic. Because most rural communities regard this as dollars that were appropriated for them that was pushed into the funding formula. And so you can, depending on when you want to start making the argument that it wouldn't be fair to take dollars away that have been appropriated, you can see the issue from one side or another. I do think that we do have to find a much broader base to look at this whole issue. And I don't believe that preventing this bill from moving to Ways and Means would help that argument. I think we need to move this thing forward and put it in the larger context and see if what we can do, in fact, for fully adequate funding for schools. And in that context, look for balance. So, Mr. Chairman, I'm hoping that this can move forward today. I hope that people honor their commitments and we see this bill move to Ways and Means. It certainly is no guarantee that this bill ever emerges from Ways and Means. Those are arguments and issues to be discussed in a different forum on another day. But I do hope this bill can move forward and at least give it a reasonable chance, as we're doing with 819, giving it a reasonable chance.
Thank you. Did you want to?
No, just get on my previous speech.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, how do I call for the the quorum of the...
We're going to need one more on this one. Jenny, if you see Senator Corcoran out there, I will... I'm going to vote no, as the sponsor knows, on this motion because of the contents that are in 747. Though the idea that we have a broader discussion, I think, is helpful, and I certainly think that as we get into the school funding formula and any changes that we contemplate, I think we see just how difficult it is to make any changes. But by keeping this issue alive as it does go down to Ways and Means, I think that will keep at least the pressure on this legislature to seek a statewide solution on school funding. The current figures that are out of Ways and Means at this point, in my mind, are not adequate, and I think that's going to drive this debate. And I think today's actions actually aren't incredibly substantive, but they are at least small parts of, I think, what's coming, certainly in May and in June. Anyone else want to fill some time as we...
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'll ask for a five-minute recess if that'll facilitate.
Do we know where Senator Corcoran...
Can we do 362?
Sure. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 747. Open a... No recess. Open work session on Senate Bill 362. This is the OCAD bill that we heard last week. We are waiting for two letters to arrive. And in front of you, members, you should have received, I believe, the two letters of the two individuals in Oregon or you're about to receive.
Well, you're right. The one is with the voters. It's a huge uphill. But I just question a few lines from the local funding.
So we're in work session on Senate Bill 362.
Do we need a motion to move the bill to the floor?
I think we've adopted the
You've adopted the dash two, yeah.
Mr. Chair?
Recognize Senator Starr.
Move Senate Bill 362 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved Senate Bill 362 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Just to note that we've got two letters.
Yeah,
one from David Chen and one for Mr. Langlier.
So those are the two letters that we were waiting for. As of last week, they've arrived. Tara, can you call the roll, please?
On 362. I'm a no. No.
Tony.
Aye.
Dead bill.
Aye.
Is an aye. I will carry Senate Bill 362. Reopen a work session on Senate Bill 747.
Mr. Chair, I was just going to ask you to hold that for just a second. I need to keep hold.
Yeah, well, my basic point was why do it when AOI likes this approach, but you're not helping on any revenue stuff.
No.
Let's move forward, Mr. Chairman.
You ready? We need a motion.
Mr. Chairman, are we in work session on 747?
Yeah. No work session?
I thought it was posted for a work session.
You can't reopen it after you close it. That's why he asked you if you wanted to recess.
Recess. Remember? Recess?
Yeah, so we did close. Okay. We can reschedule for tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Okay, so we'll reschedule. That's our only option, I believe, at this point, is to reschedule.
Mr. Chair? I mean, I didn't hear you gavel a close. I just heard you gavel opening the next one as if we were having...
He closed it.
He did close it?
I did close it.
Okay.
Can we... Would you accept a motion to reconsider the motion by which we closed the work session?
I would accept it. I would absolutely accept that.
I'm not sure. We can
close for 2 minutes.
Yeah, so we will post Senate Bill 747 at 2 o'clock tomorrow. So we'll come back to this at 2 p.m. tomorrow, Senate Bill 747.
Okay. Well, there you are.
Done yet. You just stay.
Yeah,
we're done.
You can do tomorrow.
Open a hearing on House Bill 2650. Steve.
Mr. Chair, members, House Bill 2650, B. Gross, is a corrections bill. Its purpose is to correct some mistakes that were made during the special session and in making appropriations to the state school fund. There was some language in two bills that dealt with appropriations to the state school fund, and part of one was inadvertently repealed so that the state school fund now has $150 million more dollars in it than is commonly thought to be there. And so part of the Senate Bill 2650 corrects it by reducing the state school fund by $150 million for 2002-2003 so that it's back to the number everyone believes it to be. Another correction deals with the accrual of funds from next year into 2002-2003 that was passed during the special session. As part of that process, the amount that could be accrued was set at 9.1% of the state school fund. And that was believed to allow districts in total to accrue about $211 million to 2002-2003. Subsequent to that 9.1% being set, the state school fund dollars were further reduced so that the 9.1% would generate only about $195 million currently. And so there's language to change that to be a set amount of $309 per weighted student for K-12 school districts and $12 for ESDs. So you take the connection between the state school fund and the percent away and just set it at a dollar amount so that any subsequent changes to the state school fund level won't disturb what the districts are expecting to be able to approve per student. There was also that 9.1% also applied to individual districts that they could accrue 9.1% of their state school fund dollars, but that the intent was for it to be the same dollar amount per weighted student, but that 9.1% of the state school fund gives different dollar amounts per weighted student for the accrual process. So that's corrected in here. And then in the future, the accrual limit would be the state school fund divided by 12 months to make it equivalent to 1 month's amount, and then that would be divided by the sum of the weighted students statewide, so that you get a fixed dollar amount in that process for all of the districts, and then the amount that each district could accrue would be that per student dollar amount times the number of students in the district. So it takes care of that problem. And then finally, it makes a correction to a number used in the ESD calculation for 0203. So hopefully this catches all of the corrections that need to be made to the legislation that was passed during the special session and the rebalance of the state school fund. At least that takes care of all that we are aware of, and hopefully there won't be any more show up. So that's all in House Bill 2650, the engrossed.
Thank you. Do we have anyone here to testify on House Bill 2650?
Mr. King?
Senator Ringo.
If I could just ask a question.
Please.
Section 7 reduces the allocation by $150 million. What happens if we don't pass this?
Oh, yeah.
There's a problem.
We would be out of balance.
Well, spin the problem for me. What happens?
So there would be $150 million more in the state school fund than there would be funds to actually put into the state school fund. So yes, you would be out of balance. And
that would require us, Mr. Chairman, to spend $300 million more dollars. No, if there was $150, we'd spend three, even if it was only on paper.
So what happens?
You would have, there would be a negative ending balance, probably, and depends upon what happens to the forecast coming up.
Mr. Chairman, it might mean the default on those TANs we talked about.
Yeah.
And some other little unpleasantness.
I mean, since the Constitution mandates a balanced budget, and this would put us out of balance.
So it would be, tantamount to $150 million cut in the general fund somewhere else.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Probably affect, I would think, our bond rating if we're out of balance.
And you have there the fiscal note, too. It was on the House side, it went to Ways and Means.
Some, too.
And they let it out of there?
Mr. Chair, there's some voices in the back for voting no on this and raising.
Well, as Mr. Chairman, probably it from us not to listen to the Vox Populi, but we're looking a little thin in the ranks up here.
That's true. We need one more.
Well, maybe you need more than one more.
Yes. Okay. I think this is one. Actually, I think our options are very limited on because it just simply puts us out of balance. So I'll close the.
Don't hit that gavel.
Public hearing. We're in public hearing.
Okay.
Public hearing on House Bill 2650. And I'll hold off on. There we go.
That looked like a no to me.
you need one more.
Don't.
You better count votes first.
You find on 2650 just helps us balance. It's the 150. The House bill passing the side of the House.
It fixes the accounting error, but it defunds schools.
Puts us in the balance.
I'm voting yes to defund schools, please. Thank you.
The Senate bill 747, you can't go back into the first of all, but we're opening up the work session to be challenged. And Senator Hannah's meeting with Senator Courtney. And I think they'll be engaged with them all. I think probably better to let them.
Oh, yeah, we'll bring it back in, too.
That'll be fine.
To be tomorrow.
Sure.
This the 150 was for Gill in special session, but the 150 from the endowment fund took us out of balance. So we have to do this to get balanced. Open work session on House Bill 2650. This is your chance to be a hero for schools.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Ringo.
I move House Bill 2650 to the floor with a good pass recommendation.
Senator Ringo has moved House Bill 2650 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Questions or discussion? Would only add this is just a bill that we have to close out the 01-03 budget. Tara.
Aye.
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 Is an aye. Motion carries. Senator Ringo, would you like to give a passing
I'd love to. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Open a public hearing, the last bill that we have today, House Bill 2489. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Enjoy your afternoon.
You don't need us for this one, do they?
Nathan, we've kept you here all day for this.
Well, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, yes, you always keep the best for last.
Thank you.
So, House Bill 2489 comes to us from the Oregon Association of County Clerks, and it's sponsored by Representative Shetterly, and it attempts to do some housekeeping in the statutes, whereby introducing the new person or a designation of the general power of attorney and the person holding that to be able to petition and sign as well as represent the owner of the property. This was all in front of the property tax appeal, before the property tax appeal. And this bill, Mr. Chair, does not have a revenue impact or a fiscal impact in its sense.
Thank you. Mr. Stern?
Members of the committee, Chair Deckert, my name is Charles Stern. I'm the Yamhill County Clerk, and I'm representing the Oregon Association of County Clerks today. You have before you a brief outline that I prepared on the bill, and it does two things. One is it harmonizes the list of people who can file a petition with those who you can mail refunds to. That was addressed in 2027, which has already gone through this committee and is signed by the governor, and who also where notices would be sent. And so that it's the same list of people now for all three of those different functions with the passage of this bill. That's section, the one section. And the other deals with the power of attorney. That came up where sometimes you have some elderly person or who has granted power of attorney to a non-relative. Under the current law, certain relatives can appear on behalf of them before the board. And there were some circumstances where we were basically telling them, no, you have to hire an attorney. And this would open that door then to meet that need. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Questions? Thank you very much.
You.
Appreciate your time. close the hearing on House Bill 2489, open a work session on House Bill 2489.
Mr. Chairman, move House Bill 2489A engrossed to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Farrelly has moved House Bill 2489A engrossed to the floor with a due pass discussion. Objections. Order. Senator Farrelly, would you please carry that?
I'll be happy to carry the bill on behalf of the Association of County Clerks, Mr. Chairman.
Those people who have way too much time on their hands because they bring way too many bills before this committee, Mr. Chairman.
I think this might be, tell me if I'm wrong here, this might be our last bill.
It's non-ending with those guys, Mr. Chair.
I think it's before this committee.
I believe it is. It's nice working with you.
Any House bills coming over to this? This is the last one.
So, committee, tomorrow we have a bill. We actually, we have at 2, we'll go to Senate Bill 747.
I don't, but I can get it.
So we'll need all 7 of us here for that at 2 o'clock. We also have the 2 film and video. And so we'll have to make a decision as a committee whether we want to do Senate Bill 799 or Senate Bill 313 tomorrow also.
I just asked, and I said there's no.
With that, we are adjourned.